All right, John chapter 5. Let's all go there together. John chapter 5. I want to talk to you this morning on the thought of how do I know if I'm healthy? How do I know if I'm healthy? You know, if somebody's in a car accident, you know, paramedics, you know, will do a certain, like a triage. They'll do a certain evaluation in that. And one of the things, this friend of mine who was a paramedic up in Winnipeg, Canada, why anybody would ever want to live in Winnipeg, Canada is beyond me. That's what tonight's message is for those people. How do you know if you're deceived? And when we were there, it was minus 47 degrees. And minus 40, apparently, is where Fahrenheit and Celsius actually meet each other, at minus 40. How many? That's really cold. And he was telling me, being a paramedic, he's a pastor of a church today, but he was telling me about one of the things you got to watch out for in the scene of an accident is the walking wounded. People who were in the vehicle but got out of the vehicle thinking they were uninjured and now walking around. And he said to me that the person who's crying out for the most attention is usually a sign their lungs are working. It's usually a sign that, you know, you may not want to give them necessarily the most immediate attention. Yeah. You might want to have a look at them and evaluate them. But he said it's the ones that are quieter that you have to pay more attention for. Especially, he said, the walking wounded, because they could have internal bleeding and not even know it. And they're walking around and you wouldn't even know that they were in the accident if you didn't ask who else was in the accident. And I started thinking about that and I thought, I wonder how many walking wounded Christians there are in the church who are walking around looking good, but internally they've got some damaged internal bleeding, some organs that have been hurt and they don't even know it. And if not paid attention to, could be very, very life threatening. So I just thought this morning I'd pull out a verse here that I think is one of my favorite verses when it talks about wholeness. And it's John chapter 5 and look at verse 6. And this is about a man who'd been lying by a pool for 30 years. And the story goes that once a year an angel comes and touches the water, stirs the water. And whoever gets in, who's ever heard the expression, first in, best dressed? You have me here? And so the first one into the pool after the angel touched the water once a year, no particular day of the year, just randomly once a year, angel comes, stirs the water. Whoever got in the water got healed. Okay? So there's a man who's been lying by this pool for 30 years and now we're going to break into the story. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time. What was his condition? He was crippled. And it says, in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Well, that's not a very politically correct question to be asking somebody who's crippled, is it? Do you actually want to get better? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else always gets in ahead of me. And then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once, let me say at once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. So I just thought this morning, I just want to share a few thoughts about how do I know if I'm healthy? When you read this story, Jesus is confronting this man. And he learned that he's been lying by the pool for 30 years, 38 years. And he'd been lying by the pool. And Jesus said, do you actually want to get better? Have you gotten so used to your environment that you're not even thinking about getting better anymore? Maybe what got you there in the first place was the desire to get well. But perhaps over the years, you've gotten so accustomed and familiar with who you're with and who you're hanging out with that even the thought of even getting into the pool, it's been a long time since you actually thought about getting in. And when confronted with the if you like, the mediocrity, the passivity, the neutrality of this, the indifference of this man's life and lifestyle, he had a well-prepared answer for anybody who might ask him why he is the way he is and for as long as he's been that way. It's like this rhetoric that's ready to come quickly. It didn't, you know, it was thought about. He obviously been asked the question before. Maybe about being reintegrated back into community. Maybe about getting back into society. Maybe about, you know, being again with his family. I'll never forget the day. And Sharon, you remember, this pastor prayed for a lady in our church back in Sydney. And he prayed for, now listen, sometimes you pray for people in wheelchairs and you see them get up and walk. And the truth is they were never crippled in the first place. Do you know what I mean? This lady was known to us in the church as somebody who her legs were just like toothpicks. She was a cripple, a genuine crippled person. And I understand, I'm not saying that people aren't genuinely crippled, but you know, I'm talking like she couldn't get up of her own free will. You hear me here? She had no strength, no capacity. She was literally paralyzed from her waist down. And Pastor Gordon Gibbs, and she'd been in this wheelchair for as long as we'd ever known this lady, over 20 years, and prayed for her. True story now. And she walked out of the wheelchair. Now the whole church began to weep as we saw this lady who was known to everybody, who was not just wheelchair bound for the sake of getting around, but was unable to walk and use her legs. And when we saw her walking with these toothpick legs, I mean, that in and of itself was a miracle. And I'm telling you, the church was so happy and she was so happy. And there was, you know, 60 minutes she used to come out and do exposés on the church with Pastor Gordon Gibbs, an amazing, amazing healing evangelist. And he's gone to be with the Lord now, Pastor Gordon Gibbs. But let me tell you, amazing man of God. True story. That lady, as she actually now had to learn how to fend for herself, as she had to learn how to strengthen her legs and put muscle back into her legs, and she's walking, she was used to everybody taking care of her, and somebody, you know, in terms of that life and lifestyle, within about, I think it was 4 or 6 weeks' time, she just went, that's enough, this is too much hard work. And she got back into the wheelchair and lost her miracle. Isn't that amazing? So to me, I think that's the kind of person Jesus is asking this question. Do you actually want to get well? Are you prepared to put up with the consequences? Come on, somebody say amen. So many people love to hang on to the label as a means, as a justification of why they are the way they are, rather than a change. Do you want a better marriage? Well, if you knew my wife, if you knew my husband, well, if you knew my parents, do you want a better income? Do you want a better lifestyle? Come on. Do you want a better job? Well, I can't read. You know, the excuses that people have. Come on, someone say amen. So here we go. You ready for this? Just 10 ways how to know if I'm healthy. Here's the first one. I know I'm healthy when I don't depend on others to create my own success. How do I know if I'm healthy? Number one, when I don't depend, when my success is not reliant on what other people will do for me. Listen to what the man said. Sir, I've got no one to help me. You see, this man thought that the key to his success was other people helping him rather than taking personal responsibility for his own life. Come on, someone say amen. So how do I know I'm healthy? Number one, when I'm not always dependent upon other people doing things for me. Come on, someone say amen. How do I know if I'm healthy? Is, you know, I've long discovered that, you know, nothing happens in life that if you're not prepared to make it happen, it's not going to happen for you. Amen. And we kind of, if we're not careful, we can become victims. Or, you know, my parents didn't set me up, or my wife didn't do this, or my husband didn't do this, my professor didn't recognize me, my boss doesn't recognize me. You know, and we always look and try to think about things that are happening outside of us to give a means and a justification for why we're not seeing success in our life. And this man had the excuse, Lord, I've got no one to help me. This man's healing, he thought, was dependent on what other people could do for him. And Jesus is challenging this man. Come on, do you want to get well? I've got no one to help me. How do I know if I'm healthy? Number one, when I don't depend on others to create my own success. Amen. Number two, when I don't blame others for my failures. So it's not just dependent upon other people, what they can do for you to have success. I'm amazed how many people want to live what I call the parasite kind of Christianity. They want to feed off everybody else's life. They want to feed off everybody else's anointing. They're freeloaders. There are people who go to church and they're freeloaders. They come to church, they want all the praise and worship to be brilliant. They want the lights on, the air conditioning on. They want the children ministered to. They want the young people taken care of. They want everything happening. They want the bus to pick them up. And when the bus won't pick them up, then the parents aren't willing to take their own kids to youth. They're freeloaders. And that's why they don't get much out of life. Because they're just living and sucking off the success of everybody else. They're the people praying that someone else will get wealthy, will pay off their mortgage. They're the people that think the church owes them, God owes them, the government owes them. Amen. You'll never see success if your success depends on what other people do for you. But number two, you'll never know what it is to be healthy. Listen to this. When you blame others for your failures, it's my parents' fault. It's my wife's fault. It's my church's fault. It's the pastor's fault. Amen. And you know, and listen what the guy said. He says, "Sir, someone always gets ahead of me." And there's always an excuse. Here he is. He's blaming others for his failures. The reason why I'm not healthy is because other people. It's other people get a better start. This person got in ahead of me. This person got a better start than me. And they become a victim to their own lifestyles, a means of justifying why they are the way they are and why they don't change. And what happens is, how do I know if I'm healthy? Listen to it. When I don't blame others for my success. Listen to this man that Jesus is challenging. And listen to what he's saying. Sir, there's always someone that's got a better start than me. There's always somebody gets in before me. You know, there's no one helping me. And there's always a blame. And if you are blaming others for your failures, then you'll never be able to look in the mirror and take a good look at what you did and how you can make mistakes. Amen. I serve on a number of different boards and organizations of people that I've got great respect for. And I remember one time I was talking to somebody and he was talking about this deal he'd worked with the bank. And it was all like, as far as he was concerned, it was a done deal with the bank. And based on what he thought was a done deal with the bank, he went out and secured a construction company. This is pastor of a church, and the construction company began to start work. And then of course the bank was actually, what it really was a letter of intent. It wasn't actually a loan approval. And one of the things that was in the letter of intent was subject to an update of the appraisal and valuation on the property. But of course, land and real estate all went down. So the borrowing capacity with an 80-20% ratio, actually I think it was 75-25% rate asset, the debt ratio, the property had devalued. And so the amount of money they were able to borrow that was in the letter of intent went from, went from 5 million to say 4 million. Now, this person had already committed to a construction company, a $5 million construction thing. And he's gone on about how the bank ripped him off and the bank did the wrong thing by him. And now he got liens on the construction company. And he's going on and on and on about all these, how bad the bank was. And he's blaming other people for the challenges he's facing. And I'm on, in a conference call with this guy. And finally, I said, "All right, man, well, hey, listen, talk to you later." And there was other pastors and, from around the United States that were on the phone. And I didn't want to embarrass him in front of his friends. But as soon as I hung up for the phone, I called him back. I said, "Dude, as long as you keep blaming the bank for your failures and why you got yourself in trouble right now," I said, "you've not learned the most important lesson. You actually obviously did not have a loan approval. You obviously had a letter of intent." He goes, "Yeah, I did." I said, "Well, then you're the fool. As your friend, I love you, man, but you're crazy. And as long as you keep blaming others for why your church isn't going forwards and why you've got these PR nightmares in your community for having liens from the construction company on your property, as long as you're blaming the bank, you've not learned the most valuable lesson. You never secure and go into an agreement with a on a letter of intent. You made the mistake. You didn't read the fine print of your loan. You didn't do that. And you are bound to make the same mistake twice if you don't see the fault laying at your feet." Amen. And that's what we do. We always want to look outside. We always want to look there. And we are. And how do I know I'm healthy? When I don't blame others for my failures. When I'm willing to take a good look at the mistakes I've made. And church, let me tell you, I love to say this. I love just to give people permission to be human. But I haven't made my best mistakes yet. I'm not afraid of making mistakes. Amen. And that's what we do. Sometimes the fear of failure will stop us. And I just got to tell you, listen, you'll never know till you have a go. I always think you're only two decisions away from a right one. Because if the first one's wrong, it's sure obvious when it's wrong, you can fix it. Amen. Now don't go out there blindly making decisions. Do the hard work. But at the end of the day, how do I know if I'm healthy? When I don't blame others. Number three, listen to this one. When I can recognize destructive relationships. How do I know if I'm healthy? When I can recognize destructive relationships. Now listen to me. When God wants to bless you, He puts somebody in your life. When the enemy wants to curse you, He puts somebody in your life. And I believe health comes by being able to recognize relationships that are of God and relationships that are not of God. How do I know if I'm healthy? When I can recognize destructive relationships. I tell you, as pastor of Way Church for 14 years, I've sure met some people who've actually wanted to become my friend, not because they liked me or they loved me, but because what they could get out of me. And when they can no longer get out of me what they want from me, they will walk out of that relationship. Come on, someone say amen. And so one of the ways to know if you're healthy, if at least you can recognize destructive relationships where maybe there's a codependency. Amen. Look what the Bible says here. It says, he picked up his mat and he walked. He walked away from the environment that he was accustomed to. He walked away from the relationships that he was in with. Come on. He left the crippled environment. Oh, come on, church. He left the crippled. If negative people find you and they can keep talking about negative things, you have to ask yourself, what is it in you that they find so attractive? Why do they feel like they can open up everything to you? If you want to know if you're healthy, you've got to be able to recognize destructive relationships. Amen. Codependent relationships, rescuing relationships. Because I've sure learnt that hurt people hurt people. Amen. And how do I know if I'm healthy? When I'm able to recognize destructive relationships. Where, you know, there's some people who just want so much more out of the relationship than what you're able to give them. I remember back in Australia, this one guy says, oh man, I really connect with you. And I just wonder, could I meet with you once a week for an hour of prayer? And I said to him, no, you can't. I said, I'm sorry, man, you can't. And I could tell by the way he was talking that this guy, I was going to become his personal counselor. And rather than him go to God and him read his Bible, him man up and become the, he was going to suck me into this, you know, and I just went, that's a destructive relationship. Sorry, man, you can't meet with me once a week for an hour to pray. Don't look at me so shocked now, church. Because the Bible says, if anyone's sick, let him pray. Man up! Relationships with, you know, I remember there was one particular friends we had back in Australia, and we'd go to, after Sunday morning service, we'd go to their house for lunch, and, you know, they were good people, but there was always, it was never enough. No matter what we did to befriend them and whatever we did, it was never enough. So we stayed for lunch. They'd want us to stay right through till dinner. And then we said, look, we need to go. They would get mad at us and get attitude. Well, then we don't even want to go there for lunch because we don't have to deal with the fact that we have to stay till dinner. Amen. And when you're not able to draw the boundary of what is normal and what is healthy, and if you're in a relationship where it's all just draining and draining and draining and negative, I've got to tell you something, it's a destructive relationship. And that's one of the ways that you can know if you're healthy is when you can at least recognize it and break the umbilical cord. Some sons need to break the umbilical cord to their mother. They run home to mom rather than talk to their wife. That's a destructive relationship. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. Come on, somebody say amen. There's got to be a leaving and a cleaving. Now, hopefully there's enough of a relationship there between a mom and a son and a dad and a daughter and everything in between that there's no, but when there's strings attached, when you're still tied up by the umbilical cord, it's a destructive relationship. Come on, somebody say amen. When someone's demanding exclusivity on the relationship, when someone's demanding those sorts of things or loyalty to the relationship where you can't be, you know, if you're going to be their friend, you can't be my friend. I'm going to tell you something. It's a destructive relationship. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Number four, when I go to God as my source, how do I know if I'm healthy? When I go to God as my source, amen. Jesus said to the crippled man, listen to it, get up.
pick up your mat and walk. God's words make the difference. Amen. When I go to God as my source. Come on, someone say amen. When God is my source, how do I know if I'm healthy? Where it's not other people, it's not mom, it's not dad, it's not the boss, it's not the government, it's not the church. I love them when people come and say, you know what the church ought to do? Do you know what somebody in the church ought to do this? I always go, yeah, hello, somebody. Do you know what I mean? And we look to other things and other people as our source, but God is our source. This man looking for his source being somebody else was the reason why he wasn't being successful and the excuse for why he was a failure. And all the time, here's God. Jesus, what, do you actually want to get better? Could you ever see yourself getting out of here? Come on. And Jesus just says, get up, pick up and walk. Now there's God as your source. And with God speaking, God's words makes the difference. I can say everything I can say. I can do everything I can do. But there's no substitute for you hearing from God for yourself. When God is your source, when you've got a prayer life, and you can walk on the words that Jesus gave you, you can get out of your crippled state and you can walk. You can walk out of that environment. You can be free. You can be healed and you can be whole. But if you're always dependent upon something or somebody, let me tell you something, it's not going to work. It'll just leave it where you are and reinforce why you are the way you are. Amen. Number five. When my environment doesn't leave me crippled and comfortable. How do I know when I'm healthy? When my environment doesn't leave me crippled and comfortable. Amen. When my environment, amen. Sometimes when it comes to church, and I love the church, but you got to make sure you're part of a life-giving church where the church you're a part of doesn't leave you in some crippled state. Doesn't leave you in some anesthetized state where, you know, you're asleep to what's going on. When my environment, listen to this, will not leave me crippled and comfortable. I just wrote down a few questions. What is your personal plan for growth? Amen. What is your personal plan for growth? How do you put yourself in a growth environment? And here's the thought. One of the thoughts is you need to find a place where others are ahead of you. Amen. In other words, you need to be constantly feel like you're in over your head. Church, I'm preaching better than you're listening right now. Amen. You know, I think, you know, you ought to schedule, this is my thought, you ought to schedule a monthly learning lunch where you schedule a lunch where you're thinking, what have I learned this last month? What mistakes have I made that I can learn from so that I don't repeat them? A monthly learning lunch. Maybe it's a mentor. Maybe it's going to somebody that's further ahead of you and where you are, where you might sit down with them and gain wisdom and insight and ask questions. Come on, someone say amen. A place where you're continually challenged. Amen. A place that is focused forwards and not backwards. An atmosphere that is affirming. Now, if you're sitting here going, yeah, well, I wish that was my home. Well, why don't you be that in your home? Don't be blaming others now. Why don't you be the answer? A place, listen to this, where there's affirmation. Well, if you only knew what I had to live with. Well, there you go. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Amen. We need a place where you're out of your comfort zone. That's why I love getting around other churches that are so much further than where we are. Because I don't want to look back and think, well, look what we've done. Look what we've achieved. And look behind me to see all the churches that are following us. I want to make sure I'm still following great churches myself and great leaders. Amen. A place where you're out of your comfort zone. A place, listen to this, where I wake up. This is me. I want to be in a place where I wake up excited. The day you quit waking up excited is the day you quit waking up. Amen. And, you know, it's a place where... You know, I want to be in a place where failure is not my enemy. Amen. I mean, I've tried some things in life that haven't worked. But I've sure made sure I took note of them. Sure made sure I thought, well, at least learn the lesson. Amen. Where failure is not my enemy. I'm not afraid of failing. Come on, somebody say amen. You know, every successful person, listen to this. Every successful person majors in failure. Every successful person majors in failure, but they don't wallow in it. Amen? You're either up or you're getting up. That's what Jesus said to this man. Get up. You're either up or you're getting up. There will be failures in your life, and every successful person majors in failures. But you're either up or you're getting up. Boy, that is fantastic preaching. I need to take note of that. I need to let that preacher know. I need to get more out of that preacher. And if I could just be a little bit more encouraging to that preacher, I might just get a little bit more wisdom. If I can just encourage him just a little bit, I might get a little bit more wisdom. He might be willing to share a little more if I can pull out of him what's in him. Oh, man, that's good stuff. Amen. You're either up or you're getting up. Come on, we major in failures. Amen. Praise God. I think that's good preaching. You need to be in an environment. I'm talking to you about where my environment doesn't leave me crippled. I'm talking about where my environment doesn't leave me comfortable. And maybe I start looking back behind me and think, well, I'm not as bad as them. You with me here? And the moment anybody comes along my life that actually is healthier than me, I've got the reason and the excuse and the justification, the rationalization for why I am where I am. Like, hey, I'm not them. Come on, you got to be in an environment. You got to be in an environment, listen to this, where others are learning. Amen. A place where growth is modeled and expected. Amen. And let me tell you something, Wave Church is not perfect. Come here for more than 6 weeks and you'll soon figure it out. Why? Because Wave Church is full of people. But we're learning. Amen. We make a mistake, we'll correct the mistake. Amen. But I do pray Wave Church is an environment where we're stirring people, challenging people. We're not just giving you some little anesthetic to put you asleep. We're not trying to put you on morphine. Amen. We're trying to help people get stirred. I believe it's a place, it's an environment where people get challenged. Amen. Praise God. Number six, how do I know if I'm healthy? Which kind of really goes back to the last thing I just said. When I'm just willing to get up. Amen. When I'm willing to change my habits, when I'm willing to change my friendships, when I'm willing not just to lie in my failures, keep getting up. And somebody trying to quit smoking. You know what? The only way to quit smoking is to keep quitting. But this is what happens. You know, we say, I'm going to quit. And then we smoke a cigarette. But then what's the point? I'll never change. And you just keep smoking. You got to keep quitting. You just got to keep on quitting. You keep quitting until you quit it. That was my mother. For years and years and years, she was smoking, and it was killing her, and she knew it was. She could hardly breathe. She had the smoker's cough, and she was bound as a slave to this little piece of tobacco. And then, of course, all the no-smoking laws kicked in, and she couldn't travel on an airplane because of all the... She couldn't handle the thought. She was a slave to a little piece of tobacco. The ability to travel and do what God had called her to do to help other people. Listen to it. Get free of addictions. And my mother was smoking cigarettes. Isn't it good to know God uses imperfect people? But my mother sure had a story about alcohol. My mother and father sure had a story about alcohol and gambling. And then my mom, she and I go, Mom, you're smoking again, aren't you? She goes, oh, no. And they go, Mom, look at me. She goes, yeah, I am. And she goes, I said, Mom, just don't quit. I'm quitting. Amen. And that's where she came up with this thought. Quitters never win and winners never quit. And she got free of that bondage. Amen. And that's what it is. It's a bondage. You become a servant to it. You become a slave to it. It suddenly starts controlling your life and your lifestyle. You decide where you will and won't go, and your life can become limited because of that. Amen. And so how do I know if I'm healthy? When I'm just willing to keep getting up. Amen. Number seven, when I'm accountable. Amen. Those who are close to me can challenge me and correct me. And how do you know when you're accountable? Listen to it. You have a sense of humor. So when someone actually is challenging you and correcting you, you can still laugh. Amen. How do I know if I'm accountable? When I'm not manipulating people from my oversensitivity. And boy, I've met a few of those in my day. People who are so super sensitive, and it's a means of control. Because they're manipulating with, oh, don't go there. Don't bring that up with that person. That's a controlling person. Come on. Actually, I think people who are perpetually late are very, very rebellious people. I do. I think they're saying, I'll arrive when I want to arrive, and I don't march to the beat of anybody's drum. I'll do what I would do. And if you are somebody who's perpetually late, I actually think that's a controlling person. See, now you're in an environment where I'm not leaving you where you are. And some of you are going, but if you're perpetually late, it's a control issue. It's what it is. You are controlling your environment. And when someone tries to talk to you about it, there's a reason. There's an excuse. Others, you with me here? Come on, someone say amen. And so how do I know if I'm healthy? When I'm accountable, when I'm not oversensitive, I'm not manipulating through oversensitivity. Number eight, when I'm willing and have a desire to face my weaknesses. See, Jesus said, listen to what Jesus said, do you want to get well? And there was a genuine question. Hey, you're so used to being in that state. Have you gotten so used to it, the thought of actually getting better hasn't even crossed your mind anymore? Do you actually want to get better? And how do I know if I'm healthy? When I'm willing and I have a desire to face my weaknesses. Amen. Number nine, when I develop an unoffendable spirit. Number nine, when I develop an unoffendable spirit. Is this helping anybody down there on Seaboard Road? See, I like that. I like that. You see, that's me. I'm a preacher. You'll get better preaching out of me. You will. If you just learn to hate, even a dog, if you say, skitch him to a dog. Skitch him. Skitch him. I mean, for me, don't call me a dog now, okay? Just amen. Even just a smile for some of you would be a major breakthrough. Amen. Just a smile. Praise God. Let me give you the scripture for number nine. When I develop an unoffendable spirit, Matthew chapter 18, then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or my sister who sins against me? Not against others. Look at this. Who sins against me? How many times should I forgive my brother, not a stranger now. How many times should I forgive my brother, someone who's close to me, who sins against me? And here's Peter throwing it out there, thinking he's taken the high road. And he goes, up to seven times? Thinking, man, in a day, how many times should I forgive my brother who sins against me? Up to seven times? Thinking, surely Jesus will be so thrilled with this answer that I'm willing to forgive my brother who sins against me in one day, seven times. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. He says, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Jesus is putting it in Buzz Lightyear to infinity and beyond. Having just been to Disney, praise the Lord. Amen. How do I know when I'm healthy? When I got an unoffendable spirit. Amen. Now hear me. If a person's sinning against you, you forgive them. But it doesn't mean you become a doormat to them. There's a time to refrain in some relationships. Amen. Praise God. Come on. And number 10, and I'm done. Singers, musicians, come on back. Seaboard Road, you do the same. And when my mind is in a constant state of renewal, how do I know if I'm healthy? When my mind is in a constant state of renewal. Who's ever been in a pool with a beach ball? Who's ever been in a pool and you've had a beach ball? Have you noticed with the beach ball, as long as you determine, imagine I want to put it like this, the beach ball is your flesh. Well, how many know you've got to get your flesh under control? Is that right? And so, and your mind, how many know you've got to renew your mind? So I want you to picture the beach ball as your unrenewed mind or as your flesh. Now, here's the thing about a beach ball. Who's ever tried to sit on a beach ball in the water? Now, the only way to be able to sit on that beach ball is to get it under the water and you to get on top of it. And as long as you're on top of it and you're balanced, the beach ball, your flesh, your unrenewed mind, is under control. But the moment you get out of balance, the moment you stop paying attention to keeping your flesh under, I want to tell you, your flesh will resurrect beyond your wildest dreams. And your flesh can go further in the air than you could go by yourself. Come on, someone say amen. To me, that's a Christian. How do I know if I'm healthy? When my mind is in a constant state of renewal. It's not like, yeah, I did that back in 1983 when I read that book by Casey Treat, Renewing the Mind. You with me here? Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, I've got that one. I've done that. Let me tell you something. Your unrenewed mind will come up again and again and again. Turn on the TV, the more the eyes are the window to the soul. The more that we live in this world, we live in it, but we're not of it. Amen. And we've got to learn how to renew our mind about our finances. We've got to learn how to renew our mind about our life and our morals and our ethics. That's why I want to talk tonight about how do I know if I'm deceived? Because some people are walking around, they're deceived and they don't know they're deceived, because if you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived because you're deceived. So how do you know if you're deceived? And I want to help people so they can live in the freedom all that God has for them in Jesus' name. Did that help anybody today?